Good morning and welcome to the session on the Master Patient Index. My name is Vicki Honer. I'm with Fox Cognosante, and I also represent the Public Health Data Standards Consortium, and I'm here to bring you two fantastic speakers today, Wu Xu and Joe Gibson. So let me take a minute to just let a little background for the MPI, and then I'll introduce both of our speakers to you and get started. We'd actually have a request for everyone to move forward as much as possible, because what they'd like to do is have a little bit more of a discussion with both with the audience members as well after the presentations are done. So if you can bring yourselves up closer, we would appreciate that, and then they'd feel like they can engage with you more better. So those of you way in the back like to sit. So welcome to everyone today. I'll just do a little brief introduction. I think most people understand what an MPI is, but just in case, I was just going to set a little background so that they can take off from there and talk about the implementation activities they're doing in both of their states. So the Master Patient Index, or some people call it a Master Client Index or a Master Person Index, is the assignment of a unique patient identifier to individuals within an agency, a state, an HIE, some organizational boundary to utilize to be able to track and identify individuals in that network. Although a patient identifier was mandated under the HIPAA legislation originally in the mid-1990s, that was taken off the table pretty quickly because they realized that the national incentive to actually want one of those was not going to be there, the national will to do that. So that puts us in the place we are now, with everybody trying to develop their own numbers to put into the systems that they're doing and create something for, like I said, your agency, your state, your network, whatever it is that you're working with, where you need to be able to exchange data and identify multiple records or different types of information for a single person. So anyway, this is going to be really critical for public health as well. If public health is going to participate in these exchanges, you have to be able to both be able to identify individuals in information that's going to be resident on those exchanges, or be able to submit information into those exchanges that has an identifier of some sort that the other members of the exchange can utilize to bring that into attached to other records that they might have on that individual. But states often are wrestling with this problem. How do you do it? How do you, we don't have another number that utilizes that. Very few states have assigned their own numbers to be able to have a proxy or something in place to do that. How do you link those numbers? How do you match those numbers? What's the best way to do that? How do we ensure we have the right people and we don't end up with some issues of crossing individuals so that they have the wrong information at the tips of their fingers, especially in a care setting? So some of what they're going to talk about is some of these issues related to actually implementing an MPI, figuring out if you can get the best linkage capacity that you can out of it to be able to get your best rate of identification and have a high rate of accuracy to put that in place. So we are going to go ahead and start with those, with Wu Xu to talk about it. I keep wanting to put Wu first. So our first speaker today is going to be Joseph Gibson, who's the Director of Epidemiology in Marion County Public Health Department in Indiana. He's going to present Master Patient Index as a core component of data exchange networks to describe the MPI's place among other components within a data exchange system. So we'll go ahead and turn it over to Dr. Gibson.
Thanks. We are trying to implement a Master Patient Index, or we're planning to implement a Master Patient Index in the Marion County Health Department, where I come from, that serves Indianapolis, Indiana. So I'm going to be talking about the planning that we're doing and some of the questions that we're learning we need to answer as we do that. What motivated me to try to push this in our health department was trying to think about the data exchange that we're getting in more and more involved in our health department. And I'm trying to get my arms around what we do with it. Here's sort of my conceptualization of the data exchange that public health departments are going to have to be doing more and more. There's some kind of a trigger that says, okay, there's data that needs to be exchanged. Either maybe it's an immunization record that we receive that we have to send to the state health department, or they get an immunization record for our jurisdiction, they have to send it to us, or there's a case report, or some information that we need to exchange with somebody else. So we'll gather the information we need to send to the other person, maybe from different databases within our health department, and then we'll package that into a message. We'll send that through some secure manner to the other, to the receiver. They have to have some manner to receive that. They unpack it, and they have to correctly file it. The NPI comes in here in the correctly file part here. When you receive information, when we receive a record, it's not going to be enough to just put it out in some database. We have to link it to the rest of our data. We have to take the information in that record and shove it into our databases that we already have so we can analyze it and put it into our processes. And to do that, we have to link the person who's in that record to the people in our database so that we put the right information with the right person within our databases. Or potentially sending it, we may need to link the state health department's ID for a person to the record when we send it to them so they know who that person is. So this linking might go on the gathering sending side or on the unpacking receiving side. The problem's been described already a little bit. Data from one person comes from a lot of different sources, and we have to link that together so that we can use that data effectively in public health. So some examples, if we have a known HIV case and we get a new report from a new source about them, they see a new doctor, we get a new lab report about them, we need to know that we already have investigated them. We don't want to initiate a new case investigation just because of we have a new report on somebody we already know about. So we have to link that information coming in to the existing person so we know we don't have to reinvestigate. We'd like to be able to link immunization records to death records. If we have an infant who died, we don't want to have an immunization reminder system sending out a reminder to the parent that that child needs an immunization. If we can look at our STD information and not look at individual infections, but actually look at people infected and look at reinfection, we can have a much clearer information about what is the pattern and spread of chlamydia in our community and be able to direct our interventions more effectively. And if a client comes in for some sort of service, the client comes in for a dental service, the client comes in because they're with their client comes in for one service and they're due for an immunization, they're due for another service, we want to be able to link, we want to be able to identify them that they need that service. So when they register for one program, we want them we want that program screen to say, hey, this person needs an immunization too, make sure you send them over to that program. So we have to link our program databases together. So there's a lot of linking that needs to go on in public health for it to be effective. They're going for help?
Yeah.
Okay. This is my most important slide. It's just beautiful. There's some beautiful artwork on it, but unfortunately can't see it. So some of the processes that are in need of an MPI are merging case reports. We get case reports from different sources. We want to merge those together so we can unify the case reports. Case data exchange with the state health department. They get case reports that they send to us because we're the local jurisdiction doing the investigation. We get case reports we send to them because they're going to send it to the CDC. They want to know when we start our investigation, and then they want to know as we go forward in the investigation when we complete it. So we're sending them information throughout the investigation. They need to tie that together in their databases. We want to join birth certificate, death certificate, and other population program data so we have a more complete picture of the patient so we can do more effective referrals and more effective interventions and join our interventions. There's lots of uses for the patient-centered master index. But as we think about this in our health department, we're also thinking it's really a master index. It's not just about patients. And this really came to a head during H1N1. We needed to have a master index of immunizations so that when we sent our set of the H1N1 immunizations, the records that we received during our big efforts in Marion County, sent them up to the state to go into the master immunization database. We could tell, and then they tried to do their deduplication, and we got different counts. We wanted to know where did our immunizations disappear as they went into their final records? How come they didn't have the same counts as we did? Or when they got immunizations that we didn't know about, when they sent us immunizations, we want to know, do we already have those immunizations, or are these new immunizations that somebody else provided for our county residents? And to do that, we have to do the same thing. It's linking not a patient, but it's linking an immunization occurrence and making sure you're not double counting, making sure you have the complete record of that. And then locations. Our environmental health folks are not patient-centered, they're location-centered. And they provide a lot of different services to one location, and one program in environmental health does not necessarily know what's going on with another program in environmental health. So in the same way that we want to... Leave it
pushing
to...
the right button.
Yeah. In the same way that we want to... the artwork disappeared. Sorry, guys. In the same way that we want to organize our interventions with a patient when they come in for service, when we go to a location, we want to organize our interventions so we're being efficient in our dealing with that location. I'm going to run through the data flows that we think this might look like in our health department. And as we've talked to people who know more about this, these probably are not the final data flows that are going to occur, but just to describe how we're thinking about it. So it starts when there's that trigger, when there's the identification that a message needs to be sent. There's the gathering of the information for the message goes on outside of the master index, but the master index helps put identifiers on that message. So there's a message, say, from our, we have a case report, and we're going to send it to the state. Coming from our case report population health database. We'd go into our master index lookup function. It would look at the master index database and see if the receiving application, which in this case would be the state's case, the INED system, the case investigation system at the state, do we already have an ID, an INED's ID for this patient? If we do, then we attach that ID to the patient's message. If we don't, we just send the message without an ID, and it goes out to our send message function and goes to the state database. It could go to various state databases. We might use this internally, so this might actually be how we transfer data between databases within the health department as well. So that's the sending message process. The receiving message process is triggered when we are receiving a message. So we've got these external databases or maybe something internal. It's trying to put data into one of our internal databases. The message goes to the master patient lookup. The message would need to contain some demographic information. The lookup process looks at the demographic information and sees, do we already have this patient in the receiving database, an ID for this patient in the receiving database? Is the record matched? Does this result in a matched record? If it does, and there's a receiving ID, then we just push it into the receiving database. If it doesn't, there's no receiving ID, then it goes into some sort of create a new ID process and then gets pushed into the database. If the record is not matched, then we need to create a new patient record in our master index. And then we create a new ID within the receiving database for that patient and we push it into the database. But there's going to be a gray zone. There's going to be records where we're not sure if it's a match or not. And we need to develop some process for dealing with that gray zone. It probably will involve some manual review of, is this truly a match, is this not a match? One of our big partners is the Regan Street Institute, and they're very good at record matching. That's one of the reasons that they have a very effective health information exchange. They actually don't have a manual process. They just have a high threshold for matches, and if they don't get a match, they say this is a new record and create a new record. We're not quite at that level of comfort with what we'd be doing yet. So there'd be some process to review it, and then it's matched or not matched, and it goes to this getting stuck into the database. And as new IDs are created for our databases, they get pushed into our master index, so we continually build our master index. Conceptually, that's where we expect to try to get. So let me go back. The another source of a message might be when a patient comes in for registration. So we may receive data through some data exchange. We may also have somebody present for service, and we need to match them into our population health database so that we're either creating a new record if they're a new patient or linking them with their other information if they're not a new patient. And that creates one of the real challenges with this, because we really need some process that's real time, that's going to be very fast, so that, and not only very fast, but very user friendly for the person doing patient registration. Because our experience now is that if they can't quickly find the patient who's presenting to them, they create a new record. And so now we have, in our population of 900,000, Marion County has 900,000 people in it, our client table probably has, 1,200,000 people in it. And we certainly haven't touched everybody in the county. We've got a lot of duplication that we have to work through. So the key requirements is it has to support real-time client lookup and matching. It has to integrate with our current registration systems. It has to be able to do deduplication, because really deduplication is the same thing as matching two databases together. You're really matching one database to itself, trying to find out if you've got two records that are really the same. So this master index is going to be have a deduplication function for us as well. And then it's going to link IDs from one data set to IDs for another data set. So when we send data, we are giving it with the data of the receiving databases, the ID of the receiving database. When we send stuff to the state, we're always using the same ID so the state knows who we're talking about within their system. So we take advantage of matching that's already been done. We don't keep repeating the same matching over and over again. So the options that we're looking at, we do have kind of a centralized population health database in our county that has almost all of our population programs. We use the Insight software. They have a product. They have a Master Patient Index product. And so one possibility is for us to buy that product and have a Master Patient Index based in Insight. One of the questions we have, and that would be great because it's already integrated with our main piece of software, so it's easy to deploy and it addresses one of our biggest needs, but it's unclear how well that's going to integrate with all of our other systems, and we need to have it connect to registration for other systems. And we have these other uses. We want to be able to index immunizations and locations as well as patients, and we're not sure it has the full capability that we're looking for. So we might build one enterprise-wide within the health department. We've looked at Mirth Match for this. It looks like it's a pretty well put together, solid product, but we haven't finished really evaluating whether it would fit our needs. And there are other products out there that we haven't gotten to look at yet. But that would have a centralized function. It would be independent of our other databases and connected to them, as opposed to being integrated with one specific application. We'd have to integrate it with all of them, but it's probably going to be built to be integrated more easily than something that's custom built for a single application. And then our health information exchange, the Regan Street Institute or Indiana Health Information Exchange, has a master patient index. They're very good at doing this matching stuff. They've got a lot of expertise in it. And so we're talking to them, and they're telling us if we can specify requirements, we can go forward to see if it's feasible for us to use their master patient index, which would be great. We'd have a lot of expertise there. The timeliness of the transaction is what concerns me there. So some of the questions. I'm just going to go through. This is kind of my wrap up. What are the questions that we have to answer as we decide what we want in this master patient index? What are the entities that we're matching? Are we just going to have a master patient index and just match patients to each other? Or will we also try to match other entities like immunizations or locations? Do we use this as a general master index for a bunch of different levels of entity, or is there just the patient entity that we're trying to match? Does it have to support real-time and batch matching? And the answer to this one is definitely yes. We need to have a master patient index that will support both a batch processing and real-time matching. Do we want something that's just for linking records together as they come in, or do you want something that also has a deduplication function within a database? So we've got a huge deduplication challenge in front of us already, and I think what we implement will probably look for something that can do both of these things for us. How is it? what is the architecture? Is it a federated database, or is it centralized matching? So the federated database would be using Regent Street's MPI, where many entities are using a single master patient index. And that is the advantage of having a lot of patients in it. So when somebody new comes in, they're probably already going to be there because you've got a lot of entities registering their patients in one index. But the disadvantage is that they tend to be slow because they're remote, and so your transaction time is often too slow to support the business that you've got. The algorithm, the matching algorithm, is it black box or is it open? I'm not sure that if we use the proprietary software with our matching index with our Insight database that it's going to be something we can mess with. I think it might just be something that we can't actually look at the algorithm or change or tune, which might be important to match our specific data quality that we have in our matching. Is the matching probabilistic or rules-based? We're certainly going to need some of both. We're going to have something that looks at the probability of a match and has a score that comes out of that to decide whether you accept that as a match or not. But we're also going to have some rules because there's always special cases that you need to include or not in your matching processes. So we're going to have something that we can play with the rules and have probabilistic scores. We're going to need to specify the fields that we use for matching. So there are block fields in matching where you say these two fields have to match for us to even consider trying to merge the fields together. And then there are the probabilistic fields that if these two fields match, what are the other fields we look at to see if the match is likely to be a true match or not? We're going to be able to tune the matching. And how does it deal with historical data? We have people come in and they give an address, and in another counter they give another address, and in another counter they give another address. That's information that can be useful in matching. How far back, how flexible is the system in looking at past addresses when they try to match information we get from the state health department, which may have a three-year-old record, an address that's 3 years old in the record that they're sending out to us to help with the match. And then sort of governance. This is clearly something when we're exchanging data with the state or with the health information exchange that we're going to have to work with them on what the process is. Do we store their ID and send it to them when we think, do we do the matching and send them ID that we think is their ID for this person? Or do we just leave that to them to do the match? Do they trust us, our matching? Do we just let them trust their own matching? Do we trust their matching and if they send us one of our IDs, we say, yeah, we believe that's who it is. What's the golden record? What data sources do we look at as producing the most reliable information? So we may have our dental program. Our dental program is actually pretty good with electronic records. And I think if we get data from them, it's probably pretty high quality. Where we may have other programs whose data entry tends to be sloppier. They may not ask about the address. They'll just look at the old address. So they're less likely to have higher quality data. What programs or what external data sources do we mark as having high quality, good data that we use as our most important matching information versus records that we think are dubious and less valuable to use for a match? When we send information externally, do we actually give them our own true identifier, or should we create a pseudo-identifier? So when I send information to the state health department, do I always create a pseudo-identifier for our patients so that they can't actually know our internal identifier, just for privacy protection? And when you think about it that way, it may not make a lot of sense, but if I send the same identifier to the state health department as I do to Regent Street, and I send two different kinds of information, they can actually link that together and get more information than I intended to give either of them. So maybe I have to send each of them pseudo-identifiers that are independent. So each entity might have to get a distinct identifier for better privacy protection for everybody. And corrections, who's got the rights to change what? And this is probably more program specific. What programs, can one program go in and correct information that was entered by another program? And which programs do we trust? So those are the questions we're trying to address, and we're still working through the planning phase of this. I'd love to hear if other people are working on this. I really want to talk to other health departments that are working on master patient indexes and try to learn from them as we try to get this in place. If I could ask if people could raise their hands if they're in a health department that's trying to work on this. Oh, yes, this is great. I'm going to send a piece of paper around, and if you're willing to put down your name and contact information, please write it down.